Whoa. Do you know what this is?
Okay, not exaggerating
right,
now. Not exaggerating.
Two problems this week.
What, two problems? There's only one problem.
The guy we hired to press the record button didn't show up.
Adam, not joking, didn't press record again. But luckily, we're only about 5 minutes in. And yeah, so basically, I feel like this is some kind of recording pressing guy, Ryan, whatever his name is. Send in your applications for the pressing of the record button to us, because clearly Adam keeps forgetting. But you know what? It's fine. You know, we got to get on with this.
Moving on.
Hola, everybody. How are we doing this
Hello.
Week?
We're not in the studio this week, if you can tell by the noise.
Yes. Unfortunately, we are not in the studio this week because the studios are closed, which is a shame.
The studio people apparently have lives, which...
How dare they?
Yeah.
How dare they? What are they doing? But yeah, we are in your room.
We are in my room.
With a makeshift
studio. We're in my room.
See, with shoelaces.
Yeah,
and...
we have one of the microphones attached to a stand via a shoelace. Thank you very much to my housemate for providing
relatively
that
tidy
minute.
Room as well, you know. Yeah, thanks to your mates for supplying us with this, but your room's all right. But yeah, hopefully we will be back in the studios next week. So we apologize for the sound quality, but it is okay. We are still here. How are you anyway, man?
I'm good. I just feel bad for the people that are currently playing a game whilst listening to us, thinking, shit, this is not loud enough. So sorry for the people playing games.
True. I know whatever else you're doing.
This
whatever
seems to be what people do when they listen to podcasts. They play games
or commute. You know what I mean? And if you're on the London Underground and all that, maybe we aren't loud enough for you. But we will be back next week with the old studio property. Latest news, mate. Latest news. What you got for me?
You got some, haven't you?
I've got loads of stuff. Okay, I'll start then. Glastonbury. More headliners announced. Yay. I'm not really a fan of this, but along with Adele, we have got...
We have...
Muse.
Bring Me the Horizon.
I'm going to talk about Muse.
Let's talk about Bring Me the Horizon.
No, I've never heard of them. Bring Me a Plane. I think you said before, when they first started...
Adele's joined them on stage for a couple of songs.
It wouldn't surprise me. You know, Bring Me are going to be like doing shit with like... who knows?
I'm really happy for them because I know when they first started writing that hardcore music, they were like, one day.
Me and Chris Martin and all the lads and Simon Cowell, that's what they're going to do. They'll be on fucking X Factor next. You watch. You heard it here first. They'll be on X Factor.
Ollie Sykes will be judging on The Voice.
No, he'll be doing like, they're doing a performance. You know, they do like every live show, they do like a performance by a band and usually it's people like X Factor people. It's going to be.
No, Ollie Sykes will be a judge. I reckon that's where my
money
is.
Never know, but yeah, like that aside, yeah, Muse headlining. I big fan of them.
Meh.
Meh for you, but I really like them. They're really sweet. And along with them is Coldplay. They're headlining as well, which is a bit meh in my opinion. Not a fan of them at all.
Just using my words there.
But very, very Glasto-esque, I think.
Excellent
minus
news.
Bring
for,
me
for other people.
Yeah, well...
It just doesn't bother me at all, really.
Well, you know, LCD Sound System are playing, which is pretty sweet. And we've got, like, 1975, British band, British festival, British people are playing. Obviously, the ones we mentioned, apart from LCD. So
that's
pretty happy.
Cool.
Do you know what I mean? I'm pretty happy for people who are going. If you see Bring Me, send Matt my best, the drummer, because he's a nice dude. But tell him, nah, I moved on. Not into them anymore. But,
what about Slam Dunk? What do you think about the little...
What, the announcements? More announcements?
Yes.
Very good. I've always been a fan of this year's
What I'm very
show.
Happy about is Grumblebee.
Grumblebee, yeah.
And I feel so bad because for some reason locked in my head, I've been calling the one-man show that is Grumblebee Luke, but his name is Jack Bennett. And I don't know why I had Luke in my head, but for weeks now, I've been calling him Luke, and I do apologise.
You should, but...
That's going to be cool, because his EP is not long but out, and it's a beaut. It'll be really good acoustic.
Grumblebee, yeah. They're going places, man. They are going places.
And I've never heard of this band, Elder Brother, but they're doing... He... it might be just the one guy doing it, but members of the story so far will be joining him as well, which is pretty nice.
Oh, excellent. No, I think so far the festival that's impressed me the most is Slam Dunk this year, definitely.
100%.
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
You can see my ticket over there in the corner.
I'm not by the mic anymore, but yeah, I believe you.
Amidst all the Aston Villa merchandise I haven't burnt yet.
I can't believe you mentioned Villa on here.
Yeah, like, okay, anyway, moving on.
You should be embarrassed by this. Atrocious, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm from Wolvo, but...
I got a question for you.
What's that, lad?
Asking Alexandra?
Yeah, the black was out on Friday, wasn't it?
You mean the bleak?
No, I really like it.
You mean the disappointment?
I really like it. I think it's fucking A, dude. I really like it.
You mean the deflated 15-year-old girl anthem?
Just calm down, lad. Calm down.
I could keep going.
I was, as you know, like very much like worried about this album because I thought it wouldn't be as good as I had hoped in terms of heaviness and such forth. And
yeah, but the heaviness isn't even good.
The heaviness is good.
No.
You've got to listen to what, like, if you... Because you're not really an Asking fan, you see, because I've listened to them since, like, their... Since album one to album four.
How different is this sound then to you?
Very well, the range of vocals is extremely...
No, the vocals, musically.
Different, yeah. Very much different. Yeah? James on the
I just don't feel like it's anything new or special.
Well, the transition's very difficult, isn't it, I think? But I think they've done a good job. For a first album with a first sort of like brand new singer, I think they've done an excellent job. And Dennis has got a seriously good voice. Like his range is... They've got soft songs on there and very heavy
songs
on there. Huh?
Does he do the screaming?
Yeah.
Does he do all the screaming?
It is all the screaming, all the singing.
Because there's layered screaming.
Yeah, but that's obviously because...
As well as singing.
But that's like...
And then you've got the glitchy vocals. I just don't see how it's going to be any good live. I think it's going to be very empty live.
Seriously, one thing I think you could be correct on there. The live thing, I'm not so sure about that. But as an album, a studio album...
But I don't think any of the 15-year-old girls would be bothered.
I'm not bothered about them either, really. But I mean, for me, I think that they've done a really good job. I think for the first album with a new lead singer,
I just think that if you're on a register, you won't be able to go see them. That's all I'll say.
For fuck's sake. No, I disagree, man. I think they've done a really good job. So they're not listening, but if they were listening, I'd say thank you. Because you know what? Bring Me, Let Me Down and Asking Haven't.
I'll say thank you for trying. It was noted.
You know what? It's been noted by you, but I like it. I think they've done well. I've listened to it so much, so fucking much, and I will continue to do this.
I did three times, and still I won't go. I won't give in. As the only
it is
one
heavy.
I
it
like.
Is heavy. It is heavy.
The first track as well seems to go on forever,
but it's heavy.
It is heavy.
You have to admit it's not Bring Me territory. Do you know what I mean? They haven't gone all poppy and shit. Do you know what I mean? They're still heavy. Which I love, and I think the next album will be the fucking album. That will be the album.
The album to fuck to.
No, that where they really fucking...
The fucking album. I
they really go for it, man. Because you know what? It's like anything with musicians. You have like to have this sort of growing sort of like area where you get to know each other. And I think this is what's going on with the boys. And you have to bear in mind, they've been touring with Danny's lyrics for a long time now, like over a year. So I think that has been a bit difficult. But I'm very impressed. I'm very, very, very thankful that they've done a good job.
I've just realised how long you've been talking for then. I just kind of zoned out. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit, man. But this is what I do, man. You know what I mean? If I care about something, I've got to talk about it. I didn't get enough last week.
There's some exciting releases coming up, you know.
What? Like soon or now or what?
One you told me about. Biffy. Oh,
yes.
Was it June, July?
July. Is it July?
July.
Yes,
I heard that
confirmed.
New track.
Have you?
Yeah, Zane Lowe premiered it on Apple Music, didn't he? It was called, Wolves of Winter?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Haven't heard it yet, man. Haven't heard it.
Haven't you?
No, but I'm very much looking forward to Biffy, obviously. Cause
it sounds like it's going to be quite... It's quite raw and kind of friendly, but it sounds like the guitar work is going to be and the drums are going to be really heavy live, just like they normally are. They haven't strayed too far away. They've got a lot more... They seem to have used... Well, I know they have because one of the members of the band told Zane Lowe they've been using the computer as an instrument a lot more in the studio.
Right.
And experimenting more with that because they took a whole year out.
Yeah.
And they've been experimenting a lot. They said they've written music to loads of different genres, but they seem to have just... They've still kept Biffy, which is great.
Biffy have always been... I've always loved them. I'm very much looking forward to this and I think that they'll do a fantastic job. It'd be interesting because... we obviously have contrasting opinions on quite a few things.
I think
we'll both like this one.
Yeah.
I think we'll both like this one, which I'm very excited about.
And also.
Also Weezer.
Weezer. I don't think that's the correct reaction. I don't know. I've heard a couple songs.
Yeah. Weezer are a weird one. They're a weird
it's
one.
It's their 10th studio album. It's their 4th self-titled album. How lazy is that?
That is weird. But they have all colours, don't they? Like they have the green album, the blue album.
This one's the white album.
Yeah. But I'm not sure.
It seems to be like a nostalgic, I want to be 20 years old again kind of album from the songs I've heard.
River's a bit of a weird person though, isn't he? River's a weird dude.
Very eccentric.
Yeah, he is. I'm not saying it in a negative way. I'm just saying that I've never... The blue album, I absolutely adored. Absolutely adored. I've never adored any of their albums. So I'd like their songs, but as albums, you know what I mean?
Weezer seem to have very diehard fans, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
If anybody cares to elaborate on anything to do with this album, because I'm really confused as to why they're still going, you can get in touch with us.
Of course you can. You can get in touch with the old internet machine.
Twitter.
Facebook.
Do you remember our Twitter?
Email, yeah, at @AltRockRepeat.
What about our Facebook?
/AltRockRepeat.
What about
and
our
the old Gmail is altrockrepeat@gmail.com.
It is hard to
address
to forget.
All things to me if you want to, or Adam. Mr. Adam over there. Yeah, get in touch, that'd be fantastic, man. But of course I remember. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that's really fantastic news. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And obviously Pierce of Elle, which I mentioned last week, which you'll have to listen to as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll like that.
Yeah.
We need to get like a good list of things we agree on. I think it might be helpful. It might not be.
There's a handful.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about this week?
This week we are going to be talking about... Well... that was absolutely stunning. Stunning, my lad. We're going to be talking about the Prodigy.
The Prodigy. Good job we didn't have a few drinks before this. My thoughts on Prodigy are...
The Prodigy and controversy, which is kind of linked in afterwards. We'll get to that point.
But I must admit,
yeah,
when you told me that's what you wanted to talk about,
yeah,
I almost purposefully did not look up a thing because I thought it'd be quite interesting to see if you could entice me into why the Prodigy are good, because I've never, ever, 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 ever given them a chance.
Which I find fucking rude.
What they are to me in my head.
What's this?
In my ignorant head. They are...
Your Aston Villa head, yeah. Go on.
They are pre-drinking... It's pre-drinking music for punks.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
No?
Couldn't be further from the truth. Okay, so the reason I'm going to convince you as to why this is a good topic of discussion is... Well, this year is the 20th anniversary of Firestarter.
11th of March. I know that much.
20 years, man. That makes me feel really old. Because I remember when it was first sort of like a single and it was like majorly controversial.
What's that, 1996?
Very good. You're good at maths.
Thank you.
Excellent. Long time ago, dude. I was just in secondary school.
You were called Justin in secondary school?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my alias when I was at school.
Wow.
You were obviously in primary school, probably still shitting yourself and all sorts.
I was 8, so yes.
Yes, nothing's changed. tell me you know the song.
Of course I do. Right, I know okay. 4 songs.
You know 4 songs by them?
Yes.
That's really embarrassing.
I know.
But the reason that you should love them is they aren't...
No, I'm not agreeing. I was just going to roll off the track names.
Oh, right, go on then. What are they?
Breathe.
Yeah.
Voodoo.
People.
People.
Yeah.
Firestarter. Yeah. And Omen.
Right, so...
And Smack My Bitch Up.
Okay, so you've got... You basically got songs off a few of their albums, not just one album, which is interesting.
I basically have the top 5 most listened to tracks.
Right. Really? They're the top 5?
And the only reason I like or know about Omen is obviously due to Crossfaith's amazing cover of it.
I wouldn't say amazing. They covered it and that's it. Yeah. Weirdly, I remember I don't know how, like, I heard Omen being played, funnily enough, a Bring Me the Horizon gig. And I thought to myself, what's going on? Why is Omen being played? And obviously it was Crossfaith.
You just wanted to talk about Bring Me the Horizon.
No, well, that's when they were good. the cover is pretty decent, but it's a cover. So clearly the Prodigy's done a good job.
What genre are the Prodigy?
Techno, yeah.
But I listened to... Okay, so I did listen to a cupola of tricks.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to be. Like,
I listened to a couple of tracks.
Yeah.
They haven't changed that much, have they?
No, which is a credit to them. And why? This is why it's important. If they haven't changed much and it's 20 plus years on, and it is 20 plus years, and
something's
still
working,
relevant,
right?
But they're still relevant. They still sell out shows everywhere. Like, seriously, like huge arenas, like worldwide.
It's very British when he opens his mouth a lot of the time, isn't it?
Who, Keith Flint?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of like their USP, you know what I mean?
That's the punk aspect for me.
Yeah, well, it's techno punk.
So there's that, what's that, is that song called Ibiza?
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing, mate? Or something like that. It made the majority of the lyrics.
But the thing about the Prodigy is that they are very much
like... Can we say
like
we're drunk every time we say the name?
Well, I'm not saying it properly. I don't even know how
to. No, I just want
it.
To.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. Well, you can. I'm going to just...
So the thing about the
I'm very
Prodigy...
I'm conscious of how I'm saying it now. Prodigy, yeah. They... Well, let me just give a little bit of a bio of them, yeah?
Go.
So they are now three members in terms of like the core members. When they were founded, they...
So is that a vocalist, a drummer, and someone presses play?
No. Well, this is the thing you see, right? You have to appreciate... I know you're a drummer, right? But you have to appreciate that Liam Howlett, right? He does everything. So every single song that you hear is him. That's it. Everything. He does the drums, he does everything. And then obviously they employ... for their live shows, a drummer, a guitarist and everything. But he writes everything. He's a genius, an absolute genius. And you have Keith Flint, who's a singer. With the, you know,
well,
the guy
on the writer mentions on some of their CDs, there's about eight writers.
Yeah, but the core foundation of Prodigy is Liam Howlett.
Gotcha.
Without him, they'd have nothing. He does everything, like in terms of like true Prodigy fans.
How old must he be now?
Huh?
How old is he now?
He's got to be in his 40s. You know what I mean,
I'm
not like a crazed fan of knowing their birthdays and
you know,
shit.
I always
like
get them muddled up with Pendulum when I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, but the thing about Pendulum is they were after Prodigy. So the Prodigy inspired all these people. Do you know what I mean? Like loads, and even Crossfaith, your beloved Crossfaith. Obviously, because they are using a lot of techno stuff in there. You know, they've got a lot of computer shit and all that stuff. So, like, you know, drum and bass. Sort of, and Pendulum were very much inspired by Prodigy.
Okay, so they are quite similar. I mean, I've literally heard 6 or 7 tracks.
But if you think about it, man, like if they've been around for like 25 years and they're still going, that's bloody impressive in terms of dance music as a group. They were on hiatus for a little while and they actually employed a Leroy Thornhill, who was just a dancer. You know what I mean? Because like he just danced and that
on
was
stage.
Part of it. Yeah, that was basically his job. Like Bez from Happy Mondays.
Who?
You don't know who Bez is? Oh my God. Right, well basically... the guys is Liam Howlett, Keith Flint, who's the lead singer with the Mohawks, not so much anymore. And you've got Maxim, who's like, he's like a singer as well, but rapper. Singer's a weird one because they're not really singing. They're more sort of like just, I suppose.
Geezering.
Yeah. Bit of this, bit of that. But they've got, like the songs that you mentioned are from various different albums they've done. But the biggest one for me, which I think is the main focal point for this podcast, is Fat of the Land, which had Breathe On. Yeah, I had Fat of the Land, which I'd Breathe On, and Swung a Bitch Up, and Firestarter, all this kind of stuff.
One thing I do know about the Prodigy is the controversy surrounding Smack My Bitch Up.
Tell me what you know, then.
I know that the National Women's Institution, or something like that.
Organization.
They were sure that they were talking about beating women.
Mm-hmm.
When, as a matter of fact, they were actually talking about doing things in generally intensely in life?
Yeah.
Is that somewhere around the ballpark?
Basically, the song is called Smack My Bitch Up, right?
I know
that. Which is, in itself, if you just look at it for that, yeah, it could be deemed very, very
controversial.
Sponsored
by Stella.
Yeah. But, yeah, no. Basically, Liam Howlett, sort of like, once they said this, defended by going, no, he's basically saying... It's to do with music and how you can be so intensely engrossed by something that you just give it all that you've got. Do you know what I mean? And
including the word bitch was a PR stunt.
Of course. Yeah. And you know what sells? What really
Sex.
Sells? That does. But you know what really sells?
Controversy.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Of course it does. So if you think about it, he's a genius anyway, but that's very, very clever. Do you know what I mean? And although so much so that... If you have a song called Firestarter, I'm a Twisted Firestarter, that's also going to cause a lot of controversy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm seeing this now.
Yeah, and then you have Smack My Bitch Up, which was... I mean, you could not
What do you think's more controversial?
What?
Smack my bitch up or smack my kids up?
Well,
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I'm asking you this.
Probably bitch, because it's just so. Bitch is a very strong word, I think. To you know, kids is
maybe he was upset with his female dog.
You know, no one ever considered this.
Never hit your dog.
Never considered this. But the thing is, the song in itself got so much exposure from this.
Yeah.
That it made them huge, absolutely massive. Do you know what I mean?
And then they were like, oh shit, we've been a bit too controversial. Here's a song called Breathe.
But there's a crocodile in the video for Breathe.
Oh, that is controversial.
You have to think of the context, man. Like, we're talking about the 1990s, right?
Right.
When there wasn't really much sort of like, you know, nowadays you can't get away from some controversy because the music industry just evolved so much that...
Crocodiles were illegal on TV in the 90s?
No, that just basically, if you're going to have a video, you will probably get Peter on your case then. Why have you got a fucking animal in your video, a live crocodile next to humans and all this kind of shit? You're taunting it. Yeah. You know all these people are like. The Prodigy were there to make people... They were provocative. Very provocative.
Who's Peter anyway?
Oh, Christ, I know what you meant.
Peter Smith.
Like, basically, for me, I know when I was a kid, they were like my rebellious band. You know what I mean?
Were they?
Well, think about it. They've got a song called Smack My Bitch Up and Firestarter. My parents did not want me to buy that album. And this is when parental advisory stickers were like, they were like really vigilant with this shit. Yeah. Not parents, but like record stores. So if you were under, I think it was 15? I don't know how old you had to be.
18.
Was it 18?
Maybe.
So I was like, whatever, like 15 or something?
Maybe it was 16. I don't know.
So I couldn't get this album. And you couldn't stream this shit. And have you seen the video to the song?
No, I haven't.
Mate, watch that video.
What happens? Briefly, very briefly.
If anyone is out there and they've seen it, they know what I mean. But basically, it is a video of a first point, like what's the...
Point of view? First person?
First person point of view.
Yeah.
So the camera's obviously the person, like Peep Show, basically.
I get what you mean.
And it's going around and this person is just like getting fucked, like... drinking shit loads, taking loads of drugs, throwing up, going to strip clubs.
Doing things intensely.
Yes, but exactly. And going to the extreme of things, yeah. Literally going around, having fights with people.
His bitch is his life.
Huh?
His bitch is his life or his night.
You can use, yeah, that could be a way to just sort of look at it. And basically, the night, it's basically a night out, but the person who is this is like going around and being highly inappropriate to like everybody he sees. Like...
but not women.
Yeah, goes to strip clubs and he's like pouring champagne over them and be like basically treating like anyone who sees like shit, men and women, throwing up, taking all these drugs.
Very controversial.
Then he pulls, then the person goes to a strip club, has a private dance. The stripper is on him, on the person. And then basically they go back to the person's house and they have relations or whatever you want to call it.
Smacks his bitch up.
Basically, and then what happens then, you see them doing their malarkey and all that malark, and then the video pans out and you see the person in the mirror and it's a woman. So it's exactly. So all these people are going around going, oh, they're advocating this and all this kind of shit. Well, no, it was a woman that was doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's very clever.
That was really clever.
And it was banned.
You had
man.
Me.
Yeah, it was yeah, dude, watch it, it's incredible. It's kind of ruined it for you now because you know what it is. But when you watch it, you're like, fuck me, man. Like, and the album got
just like Bruce Willis always being dead in the film. Sixth
that film.
Sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, if you haven't watched it, sorry.
No, well, and like, basically, if you think about it, we're still talking about it today. You know what I mean? Like, Smack My Bitch Up is still one of those songs that I've always think, if you had to think about moments in history when something really controversial happened, I think that's a pretty high one. Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of musical sort of like, significance, and the album is fantastic in what it provided. But the
controversial things of my youth, one of them included buying a Dr. Dre album like Chronicles or whatever it was when it had one track that was just like audio from a porn.
Oh, really?
And my mom had bought it for me, and we whipped it into the car CD? Player.
Oh, the car
thing.
Player? What, the cassette player or the CD player?
I don't remember. It was either at home or in the car. I don't know how many years ago that was. But playing through the CD, and it was very, very strong language. And then the porn clip, and my mum was literally took it back.
What, she took the album back?
Yes.
What did she say?
You're not listening to that, I presume.
No, to the store. They're just like, this is, was she like, this is outrageous?
I don't know. I just remember owning the CD, my mom getting mad, and then not owning the CD.
Were you upset?
But which is funny, because she was fine with me having an Eminem CD, which is another very controversial point in that era.
Very much so. Like, Eminem is one of those guys that thrived on that shit. Thrived. And he was very much that 1990s.
He had a gay porn bit in one of his songs, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He literally, everything was game for him. Every single type of thing he would go for. Homosexuals, like, racism, everything. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean like saying, he was saying like, you're,
he was an advocate for beating women in songs, wasn't he?
Well, he was pretty much encouraging it,
yeah,
in some ways. Which, what happened, he sold
Kim, for instance.
Yeah, he sold millions and millions and millions of records. Now, we as Alt Rock Repeat are not advocating,
and that album is still very relevant to me.
Yeah,
not in terms
of
the message it
gives. The first album,
Marshall Mathers LP.
So the second album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not relevant as in the meaning, as in it stuck with me and I like listening to it.
Yeah.
Same with, I'm sure, Prodigy with you and people who like them.
Yeah. But once again, like...
You hear that crack? That was my neck.
Was that your neck?
I think I broke my neck.
Oh my God, son. Oh my... Oh, ever lie down.
on the bed, yeah.
Yeah. I'll carry on. No, Eminem is... he knows. He's very clever as well. Controversy sells. Do you know what I mean? But I was asking you earlier, do you think these days that there is as much controversy that is just so apparent? Like, are there any rebels out there that can do this shit?
Robin Thicke, or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He.
That's one, isn't it?
Yeah. He's.
That was widely protested, that song. Blurred Lines, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Do you not know the true meaning?
I know the song. I know about the song and everything, but I didn't know it was protested against. Because Pharrell Williams was attached to that, obviously, and he's like another genius but in a pop sort of sense.
It's a very rapey song.
Well, no, I know the song is horrific in that respect, but I didn't know there were protests against it.
Well, it was highly controversial, just like those other tracks, so it was spoken of a lot.
Ah, interesting. Anything else you can think of?
No.
So, do you think it's because society's become sort of so...
PC?
Perhaps.
I went to Poland, maybe...
La-di-da.
By bus, by the way. So by it wasn't very la-di-da. Maybe 14 years ago.
Okay.
And they had bare breasts on music channel videos in the middle of the day.
Really?
Yeah.
You must have been delighted.
Which is a bit of perspective.
Were you delighted?
It was awkward because my family were there and I turned on the TV.
Shit,
but apparently that's just normal. Free the nipple. It's old news to them.
It's weird because these days it seems like nothing is shocking in terms of like whatever medium it is.
That's desensitization.
Yeah.
Desensitization.
That's what I mean. So like people like Kanye West who are trying to be all sort of like, say really sort of controversial and provocative things.
To a lot of people now, it's just like boring.
It's
shut up,
boring.
You fucking
it
buffoon.
Is, that's exactly it, dude. That is exactly my
Fool.
Point.
Yeah.
You can't these days, I don't think you can, apart from like, obviously, if you did something that was horrifically, you know, homophobic or something, something like this, that's out of order. That's not controversy. That's just being, you know, an idiot.
That's across all media.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're the same as me, but I'll watch movies sometimes. And, well, Walking Dead, for instance.
Okay.
I still cringe and turn away sometimes at the really gruesome things. If I know something gruesome is going on, I'm like, oh no! But other people are there just eating popcorn, just not even batting an eyelid. Oh yeah, his head just got mutilated.
So, in a way, would the Prodigy, if they released this song now, would it be controversial?
I think it would be scrutinized more.
Yes, I agree. I think that back in the day, in inverted commas,
people are much more precious about these things these days,
yes.
I think.
Which is kind of funny because if you think about it, it is generational or sort of not even generational. It is very apparent to that time point, I would say, in life where, you know, this, you know, the 60s and 70s and the 80s and not yet 80s, you know, all these different eras where music was prominent. The Prodigy now, I think you're right. I think if that song was now, there'd probably be a lot more.
I think it's an enhanced level of empowerment across all different walks of life.
Yeah.
They feel like they now realise or are now able to have more of a voice, so more people will speak up about it. Yeah. Whereas back then, they might not have. No, even exactly. though it was only 20 years ago.
But they actually got a lot more attention for it. Because if, in a way...
It was brought up a lot, but nothing was done about it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because the attention was only on them. So with the internet sort of like saturating everything...
But I don't know, you know, because he's still got people like Nicki Minaj walking around like she's been stung by a million bees.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose it's just... yeah, that's a good point. You know what I mean? There are still... it's still very sort of much
And then
there.
Robin Thicke with his blurred lines.
Yeah, but I think that in terms of like... just one band having that impact, I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
Fucking Robin Thicke.
Do you know what I mean?
I know you want it. Fuck off, you dickhead.
Absolutely, but I mean, you know, that can be another topic of discussion if you want. But yeah.
Like, our hate list is growing week by week.
My hate list is always growing. I have a massive list. Lynn, or as you know, a Kaz...
Yes.
She knows she is a big fan of my hatred for many, many things. So I think yeah, that could be another podcast in itself. My hate for you. You know what I mean?
Me?
Not you, but you know what I mean? Like
controversial.
Yeah, very controversial.
but controversy definitely sells. I mean, The Fat of the Land, that album you're on about.
Yeah.
Across 6 different countries, yeah. It went platinum a total of 12 times.
Fucking, that's incredible. There you go, that says it all, man.
And Firestarter itself, which a single requires 600,000
sales to be
platinum, an album 300,000.
Yeah.
Firestarter has gone platinum.
There you go, man, says
I
it
think.
All.
I think, yeah, it has.
And it's probably still selling today. I guarantee...
It's the oldest track that went platinum.
I guarantee that people are still listening to this now. And you've seen them live? Oh, well, I'm guessing you haven't. But
of course not.
They are fucking incredible. Seriously, seriously good. Like the energy, you know, like Crossfaith?
Yeah.
That's basically what it's like. The energy is unbelievable. But imagine that they're the father of Crossfaith, because they are in a way. In some ways, just hold on, they are in some way, because obviously they inspired them and whatever else.
Brother from another mother, because they're a different...
Yeah, exactly. But also they're like they inspire them, so they're kind of like their prodigies, in fact. You like that one?
Good.
Do you like that one? But yeah, man, I'm really
I can appreciate. And yeah. They're not pardon me. They're not bad. I just
No, that's fair enough, man. But I mean
I just never listened to them.
I think maybe
And I thought I'm not gonna cram in listening loads and pretend I know a little
no,
shit.
No, but watch that video. Seriously, watch the video. I think you'll
That album, it went platinum 12 times.
Yeah.
A third of that was England, 4 times.
Really?
It sold, that album sold over 1.3 million.
There we go. I'm very happy to hear that. They've had albums since and, you know, they've kind of like, you know, done well. But the main thing is their live shows. They're brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know who he married? You know who Liam Howlett married?
Who?
I think, now bear with me, is either I think it's Natalie from All Saints. Remember All Saints?
Yeah, but I don't know their names.
No, but there were the twins, the two Canadian twins. One married Liam Gallagher and one married Liam Howlett. Really, really weird.
Like, really, really weird.
Yeah, really weird. Think about it. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a pop band and they've married like two massive British, call them rock musicians.
Ballons.
Well, Liam. They're both called Liam as well.
Yeah.
Liam Howlett's sound. Got a lot of love for him. But yeah. There we go. Controversy sells. We got you there in the end. Maybe a little bit with the old prodigy liking. Perhaps,
yeah, I
who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, maybe.
I'm appreciative of all the things you have told me today.
But yeah, man, get in contact with us if you think that we are talking shit, or if you think you agree with us.
Well, we are talking shit.
We always talk shit, but
just
you know,
tweet, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Throw a brick through it. Don't throw a brick through.
No. Don't do that. But no, if you've got any, if we're missing something with controversy, which we definitely are,
of course we are.
Yeah, but I mean, just give us a shout. Do you know what I mean? Definitely give us a shout. We love that shit. I'm getting better at tweeting, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's quite funny on our Twitter because going back to Asking Alexandra, I felt the need to express myself through a
tweet. I saw this.
And then merely a day or two later, there was a contrasting tweet saying how good it was.
I think you can guess from our Twitter who's who.
Punctuation counts.
Punctuation and also just our tone. Because mine is very sort of like different to yours. But maybe we should put dash Adam or dash Key. So people know who's saying what. But I'm pretty sure people will know who... I like and who you like, Maybe?
Yes, and guess what?
What's that?
Guess what time of the podcast it is?
One of my favourite times. Yeah? And probably one of the favourite times of everybody else as well. The unsigned band.
No.
No?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, you bastard. Go on, tell me, who we got?
We have got a band called Tirade, who I believe are from Manchester.
Cool.
They are an alternative... Oh, God, Mike nearly fell down then.
Bloody hell, shoelace.
They're an alternative pop punk band from Manchester, I believe.
So they're from where again? Where are they from?
Southampton.
Yeah.
Manchester. Oh dear, I had to cough then.
You are really, really selling it today, aren't you, with your sniffing?
I'm so sorry.
Go on, carry on.
So this track is called Snakes and Social Ladders, which was released... What's the date today? I don't even know. Just over a week ago. Yeah, that'll do. Just over a week ago. I actually listened to their EP like months and months ago without even really paying much attention. They brought out another EP called If I Told You, I'd Have to Kill You last year.
Nice.
And this new track that they brought out last week or the week before that is not too dissimilar to their older stuff. So they seem to have found their sound really quickly.
I like this song.
They're kind of... What would you say they're like?
You know, one thing I said to you, and you agreed with me, very English.
Yeah, very British.
Very British. I like that.
A bit lower than Atlantis.
Lower than Atlantis, yeah.
They got a lot of their single note guitar stuff, which I love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much, I would say that's a good comparison. I like them. I really like them. I really like this track. And they're lovely chaps, aren't they?
Yeah, they are friendly.
Like everybody else. Everyone's so blooming friendly. I love that. But yeah,
The vocalist has got a very distinct voice that is really, I want to say approachable, but... It's friendly. It is friendly. It sounds like quite a few other things, but in a good way.
No, it's not. It's not wet. It's not like it's.
Asking Alexandra. No, it's not wet.
Oh, fuck's sake. It's not. No, it's not. You know what it is? It's not like it's sort of like tame. It's very approachable and friendly, and I like it. He's got a nice voice. He has a lovely. Oh, I can't even. He has a cool voice. That sounds better.
I think they're doing a new. They're working on a new EP.
Excellent.
It said that. Well, they told me anyway. A guy called Neil Kennedy has recorded Don Broco, Boston Manor, and bands like that, if you know.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so it should be pretty good.
That's a really
I think
good.
This track we're going to play now is going to be off it.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that. And also thanks to all of you for listening this week. So playing us out this week. Oh, hold on. You didn't tell us how to get the info for the band.
I fucking didn't, did I?
You are fucking useless.
They are on Facebook, Tirade Band UK.
One word?
Yes. Twitter @ Tirade Band.
Excellent.
That's how you say that word, isn't it?
Tirade, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And on their YouTube channel, which I don't have any link for or anything, you can listen to their old EP, which is, if you like this song, you'll really like the old EP as well.
Beautiful. Thanks very much for that.
You're welcome.
So, playing us out this week is Tirade, Snakes and Social Ladders. Thanks so much. See you next week, or, you know, hear you next week, whatever. See you in a bit.
Bye.